Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of the Werewolf of Fever Swamp on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This episode is recorded live from my bathtub out of just sheer maybe, I don't know if it's laziness or apathy or just comfort. The next episode is going to be Nick recording with the accompaniment of an organ. I'm about to do the my favorite podcast, the Get It On podcast with Giovanni Giorgio, and I know he records like inside of his closet with like sitting on a hamper to get the best quality you possibly can, and I am in my bathtub with the kitten leaning over the side. I'm going to be reading it on a ebook reader, drinking a hurricane high gravity, and we'll see how this goes. You know, might have to scrap all of it, or it might be how I record every one from now on. All right, try not to get any water on the ebook reader. Let's see how this goes. Sorry, the kitten's still trying to get into the bath. Move, Scarlet. All right. Chapter 15. When I opened my eyes, the hideous pile of feathers and blood-covered flesh was still at my feet. What is it? Will stammered. It took me a long while to realize we were staring at a bird. A large heron.
Heron, it's all gone.
It was hard to recognize because it had been torn apart. Long, white feathers were scattered over the soft ground. The poor bird's chest had been torn wide open. The swamp hermit, Will cried.
Huh?
I cried. I turned away from the hideous sight and tried to force the image from my mind.
That's why he had blood all over his shirt, Will declared.
But why would he rip a bird apart? I asked weakly like a little bitch.
Because he's a monster, Will exclaimed.
He's just a weird old guy who lives alone in the swamp, I said.
He didn't do this, Will. Some kind of animal did it. Look!
I pointed to the ground. There were paw prints in the soft ground around the dead bird.
They look like dog's paws, I said, thinking out loud.
Dogs don't rip apart birds, Will replied quietly. Now the kitten is inside of the litter box. I really hope she doesn't have stinky kitten shit going on there, but she's watching me read from the litter box while I'm in the bathtub drinking a tall can and recording Goosebumps. Where did my life go wrong? Or incredibly right.
Dogs don't rip birds apart, Will replied quietly.
At that moment, Wolf came, bounding up at us through the weeds. He came to a stop in front of the dead bird and started to sniff it.
Get away from there, Wolf, I ordered. Come on, get away.
I tugged him back, pulling him with both hands around his thick neck.
Let's go home, Will said. Let's get away from this thing. I'm gonna have bad dreams.
I really will. Because Will.
I pulled Wolf away with both hands. We stepped carefully around the dead heron and then hurried toward the swamp edge. Neither of us said a word. I guess we were both still picturing what we had seen.
As we reached the flat grass behind our houses, I said goodbye to Will. I watched him hurry to his house. Wolf scampered after him for part of the way. Then he turned and hurried back to me. The late afternoon sun burned its way through the clouds. I shielded my eyes from the sudden brightness and saw my dad working in the deer pen behind the house.
Hey, Dad! I ran toward him over the grass. He glanced up when I called him.
He was wearing denim cutoffs and a sleeveless yellow t-shirt. He had an Orlando Magic cap pulled over his forehead.
What's up, Grady? Kelly, did she just step on the laptop?
She did.
Is it still, it's still recording?
It's still recording.
All right. Will and I, we saw a dead heron, I told him breathlessly.
Where? In the swamp? He asked casually. He pulled off the cap, wiped his forehead with the back of his hand, and replaced the cap.
Dad, it was torn apart, I cried.
He didn't react.
"That's part of life in the wild," he said, pulling up one of the deer's hooves to examine the bottom. "You know that, Grady. It can get pretty violent out there. We're talking about survival of the fittest and shit like that." "No, Dad, this is completely different," I insisted. "The heron, it was ripped in two. I mean, like someone took it and..."
"Another bird, maybe," Dad said, concentrating on the deer hoof.
"A larger bird of prey. It could have been..."
"We saw the swamp hermit," I interrupted.
"He had blood all over his shirt. Then we saw paw prints on the ground all around the dead bird."
Grady,
calm down," Dad said, setting down the deer's leg. "If you go exploring the swamp, you're going to see a lot of frightening-looking things. But don't let your imagination run away with you."
"Will said it was done by a monster," I exclaimed.
"Yeah, nice work not letting your mind run away, Grady. What kind of name's Grady?"
Dad frowned and scratched his head through the cap. "I see your new friend has a good imagination, too," he said quietly.
That night, I was glad my parents agreed to let Wolf sleep in my room. I felt a lot safer with the big dog curled up on the rug beside my bed. I hadn't been able to shake the ugly picture of the dead heron from my mind. I watched some TV until dinner time. Then, after dinner, I played a long chess game with Emily. But no matter what I did, I kept seeing the white feathers scattered over the ground, the torn apart bird lying crumpled on the path. So now I felt a little comforted with Wolf sleeping in the room.
"You'll protect me, won't you, boy?"
I whispered from my bed.
"You'll protect me, won't you, boy?"
He uttered a low snort. Light from the full moon spilled over him through the window. I saw that he was sleeping with his head resting on his two front paws. Then I drifted into a dreamless sleep. I don't know how long I slept. I was awakened sometime later by a horrifying crash. I sat up with a startled gasp. The crash had come from the living room. I realized someone was breaking in.
This is the best plan ever.
Chapter 16.
I forgot to sing it at the beginning.
Was it a burglar? I climbed out of bed, my heart pounding, and crept to the door. Another crash. A loud thump. Footsteps.
Who is it?
I cried. My voice came out in a choked whisper. Keeping against the wall, I made my way slowly toward the living room.
"Who's there?"
I shouted. Mom and Dad and Emily met me in the dark hallway. Even the darkness, I could feel, or I could see the fear and confusion in their faces. I was the first to the living room. Pale yellow light from the moon washed across the room.
"Hey!"
I called out. Wolf leaped against the big front window. His shoulders made a loud thud against the glass.
"Wolf, stop!"
I cried. In the pale light, I saw what had caused the loud crash. Wolf had knocked over the table and the lamp that stood in front of the window.
He's trying to get outside," I stammered.
I felt Dad's hand on the shoulder of my pajama shirt.
"What a mess he made,"
he murmured. "Wolf, stop!" I called again. The big dog turned, breathing hard. His eyes glowed red in the moonlight through the window.
"Why is he so desperate to get out?"
Emily demanded. "We can't have him in the house if he does this every night," Mom said, her voice hoarse from sleep. The big dog lowered his head and let out an excited growl. His tail stood straight up behind him.
"Open the front door. Let him out," Mom said, "before he wrecks the whole fucking house."
Dad hurried across the room and pulled open the door. Wolf didn't hesitate for a second. He bounded to the door and burst out. I ran to the window to watch him, but the big dog disappeared around the side of the house, running toward the backyard.
"He's heading to the swamp," I guessed.
"He tried to break through the window," Mom said.
Emily clicked on the lamp.
"He's so strong. He probably could have broken the window," she said, quietly like a bitch.
Dad closed the front door. He yawned. Then he turned his gaze on me.
"You know what this means, don't you, Grady?"
I was still staring out the full moon.
"No. What?"
"Wolf will have to stay outdoors from now on," Dad said. He stooped and began picking up pieces of the broken lamp, like he wished he could pick up pieces of his broken life.
"Dad," I started to protest.
He's too big and too restless to stay in the house, Dag continued, sounding much like me. He handed the lamp pieces to Emily. Then he pulled the table right side up and returned it to its place in front of the window. Wolf didn't mean to break the lamp, I argued weakly. He just saw the movie Kazam and thought Shaq would come out if he broke it. He'll break everything we have, Mom said quietly. He's just too big, like Shaq, Dad added. He'll have to stay outside, Grady. Why did he want out so desperately? Emily demanded. He's probably used to being outside, Dad told her. He'll be happier out there, he said, turning to me. Yeah, maybe, I said glumly. I liked having Wolf sleep beside me in my bedroom, but I knew there was no way I could convince my parents to give the dog a second chance. Their minds were made up, and at least they were letting me keep Wolf.
The kitten's trying to get in the bed. Oh, no, she's running away towards God knows what.
I pulled the vacuum cleaner out of the closet and plugged it in. Dad took the nozzle and began vacuuming up the tiny pieces of glass from the carpet.
That crazy dog, I thought, shaking my head unhappily. What's his problem, anyway?
When Dad finished, I carried the vacuum cleaner back to the closet. Now, maybe we can all sleep in peace, Mom said, yawning.
That's what yawns sound like. She was wrong.
All the sounds that sound like farting in the bath are not, and that's gross. It's a, I got a bath pillow. That's how into baths I am. Going for Christmas from Kelly. All right.
I'm passionate about baths like I'm passionate about chapter 17. I heard the frightening howls again a short while later. At first, I thought I was dreaming them. But when I opened my eyes and gazed around my dark bedroom, the howls continued. Still half asleep, I gripped the covers with both hands and pulled them to my chin. The howls sounded so close, as if they were right outside my window. They didn't seem like, oh my god, the kittens try to jump on my lap inside the bath. They didn't seem like the cries of an animal. They were too angry, too deliberate, too human. Stop trying to frighten yourself, I thought. It's a wolf. It has to be some kind of swamp wolf. In the back of my mind, I knew it might be a wolf, making those frightening sounds, but I kept pushing the thought away. Why would the dog howl like that? Dogs bark. They don't howl unless they're very sad or upset. I shut my eyes, wishing the frightening wails away.
At this point, you guys, you should shut your eyes and just imagine the audiobook reader lying naked in the bath, a kitten rubbing against his arm as he reads a bootleg audiobook of Goosebumps.
My life is horrible.
More malt liquor, we'll save it.
All right. Suddenly, they stop. Silence! Then I heard rapid thumps on the ground, footsteps. Some kind of struggle. I heard a short, terrifying cry. It cut off almost as soon as it began. It's right in back of the house, I realized, wide awake now. I jumped out of bed, dragging the covers with me. I stumbled to the bedroom window and grabbed the windowsill. The full moon had risen high in the night sky. The backyard stretched out, silvery in the moonlight, the dewy grass shimmering in the bright light. Pressing my forehead against the windowpane, I peered out toward the dark swamp. I uttered a near-silent gasp when I saw the shadowy creature running towards the trees. A large creature running on all fours. It was only a black outline fading into the darkness, but I could see how big it was. I could see how fast it was running. It was Shaq. And I heard its howls, triumphant howls, I thought. Is it Wolf? I wondered. I peered out the window without moving. Even though the darkness had swallowed the creature up, I could see only the outline of the distant trees, but I could still hear the howls rising and falling in the heavy night air. Is it Wolf? It can't be Wolf, can it? I lowered my gaze, my breath caught in my throat. I saw something in the middle of the backyard, a few feet from the deer pen. At first, I thought it was a pile of rags. Why I'm so stupid that I thought it was a pile of rags, I don't know. My hands trembled as I pulled open my window. I had to get a better look. I had to see what was in the backyard. I pulled up my pajama bottoms.
Huh?
Alright.
Then, gripping the windowsill, I lowered myself out the window onto the grass. The wet grass felt cold under my bare feet. I turned to the deer pen. The six swamp deer were standing tensely huddled together against the house. Their dark eyes followed me as I began to creep across the grass. What is that thing? I wondered, staring into the silvery night. Is it just a pile of old rags?
No.
What is it?
Chapter 18, I hope this is recording. If not, I'm gonna kill myself.
18. My bare feet felt cold and wet as I made my way slowly across the dew-covered grass. The night air was heavy and still. Still as death. When I came close enough to see what was lying in a heap on the grass, I uttered a faint cry and started to gag. I pressed my hand against my mouth and swallowed hard. I realized I was staring down at a rabbit. Its small black eyes were frozen up in terror. One of its ears had been pulled off. The rabbit had been ripped open, nearly torn in half. I forced myself to look away, my stomach still heaving. I hurried back over the wet grass to my open window and scrambled back in. As I struggled to pull the window shut, the howls rang out, rising triumphantly from the nearby swamp. After breakfast the next morning, I let Dad out to the backyard to show him the murdered rabbit. It was a bright, hot day, and a red sun climbed a pale, clear sky. As soon as we stepped off the back stoop, Wolf appeared from around the side of the house. His tail began wagging furiously. He came running excitedly to greet me, as if he hadn't seen me in years, leaping on my chest, nearly knocking me over. "Down, Wolf! Down!" I cried, laughing as the dog stretched to lick my face. "Your dog is a killer," a voice said behind me. I turned to see that Emily had followed us. She was wearing a red t-shirt over white tennis shorts. She had her arms crossed in front of her and was glaring disapprovingly at Wolf. "Look what he did to that poor bunny," she said, shaking her head. "Whoa, hold on," I replied, petting Wolf's gray fur. "Who said Wolf did this? Who else would have done it?" Emily demanded. "He's a killer." "Oh yeah? Look how gentle he is," I insisted. I put my wrist in Wolf's mouth. He clamped down on it gently, being careful not to hurt me. "Wolf may be a bit of a hunter," Dad said thoughtfully. He had been staring down at the rabbit, but now he turned his gaze to the deer pen. Huddled together at one end of the pen, the deer were all staring warily at Wolf. They had their heads lowered cautiously as they followed the dog's every move. "I'm glad they're safe inside that pen," Dad said softly. "Dad, you have to get rid of this dog," Emily said shrilly. "No way!" I turned angrily to my sister. "You have no proof that Wolf did anything wrong," I shouted. "No proof at all!" "You have no proof that he didn't do it," Emily replied hastily. "Oh, guilty until proven innocent. What is this, Mexico, Emily? Oh, are you Mexican now?" "Oh God, all my neighbors are Mexican. The windows are open so I don't fog up the laptop. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Oh my God, I'm going to get stabbed naked." "Of course he didn't," I cried, feeling myself lose control. "Didn't you hear the howls last night? Didn't you hear those frightening howls? It wasn't a dog howl like that. Dogs don't howl like that." "Then what was it?" Emily demanded. "I heard them too," Dad said, stepping between us. "They sounded more like wolf howls, or maybe a coyote." "See?" I told Emily. "But I'd be very surprised to find a wolf or a coyote in this area," Dad continued, gazing out toward the swamp. Emily, still had her arms crossed tightly over her chest. She gazed down at Wolf and shuddered. "He's dangerous, Dad. You really have to get rid of him." Dad walked over and patted Wolf's head. He scratched Wolf under the chin. Wolf licked Dad's hand. "Let's just be careful around him," Dad said. "He seems very gentle, but we don't really know anything about him, do we? Let's be very careful, okay?" "I'm gonna be careful," Emily replied, narrowing her eyes at Wolf. "I'm gonna stay as far away from that monster as I can." She turned and stormed back to the house. Dad made his way to the shed to get a shovel and box to carry away the dead rabbit in. I dropped to my knees and hugged Wolf's broad neck. "You aren't a monster, are you, boy?" I asked. "Emily's crazy, isn't she? She must be having one of those commas that Mom's always saying that girls get when they get older." "You're not a monster. That wasn't you. I saw you running toward the swamp last night, was it?"
Or that wasn't you. I saw it running to... Ah, fuck, you get the idea of that sentence. Wolf raised his deep blue eyes to mine. He stared hard at me. He seemed to be trying to tell me something.
But I had no idea what it could be.
Let me try to get up and drip water all around my house and save this file. Because there's no way I'm reading this shit again. It's horrible. Wolves and shit. No one cares.
Carla, Daddy has serious work to do.
Kind of fell.
It was a very graceful entrance. All right. Yeah, it looks like it's recording.
All right. Chapter 19. That night, I didn't hear the howls. I woke up in the middle of the night and stared out the window. Wolf was gone, probably exploring the swamp. In the morning, I knew he'd come running back to greet me, as if I were a long-lost friend. The next morning, Will showed up, just as I was giving Wolf his breakfast, a big bowl of crunchy, dry dog food.
Hey, what up? Will asked, his usual greeting.
NM, you, I said. I rolled up the top of the big bag of dog food and dragged it back into the kitchen. Wolf stood over his bowl, his head lowered, chewing noisily away. I pushed open the screen door and returned to Will. He was wearing a dark blue muscle shirt and black Lycra bike shorts for some fucking reason. He had a green and yellow Forest Service cap pulled down over his dark hair. "Want to go sexploring?" he asked in a hoarse voice, watching Wolf hungrily gobble down his breakfast. You know, in the swamp. Wink! Yeah, sure, I said. I called inside to tell my parents where I was going. Then I followed Will across the back lawn toward the swamp. Wolf came scampering after us. He'd run past us, then let us catch up. Then he'd run in crazy zigzags in front of us, behind us, romping happily under the hot morning sun. "Did you hear about Mr. Warner?" Will asked. He stopped to pick up a long blade of grass and put it between his teeth.
"Who?"
"Ed Warner," Will replied. "I guess you haven't met the Warners yet. They live in the very last house." He turned and pointed behind us to the last white house at the end of the row of white houses.
"What about him?" I asked, nearly tripping over Wolf, who had come rumbling past my feet.
"He missing. What you mean he missing?"
"He missing," Will replied, chewing on the great blade of grass. "He didn't come home last night."
"Huh? From where?" I asked, turning to stare at the Warner's house.
Heat waves shimmered up from the grass, making the house appear to bend and quiver. "From the swamp," Will replied. "Mrs. Warner called my mom this morning. She said Mr. Warner went hunting yesterday afternoon. He likes to hunt wild turkeys."
"So do I. I hunt wild turkeys while laying in bed crying."
He took me with him a couple times. He's real good at chasing them down. When he kills one, he hangs it up, hangs its feet up in his den wall.
"He does?" I cried. It sounded pretty gross to me.
"Yeah, you know, like a trophy," Will continued. "Anyway, he went hunting wild turkeys in the swamp yesterday afternoon, and he hasn't come home."
"Weird," I said, watching Wolf stop at the edge of the trees.
"Maybe he got lost."
"No way," Will insisted, shaking his head. "Not Mr. Warner. He's lived here a long time. He was the first one to move here. Mr. Warner wouldn't get lost."
"Then maybe... the werewolf got him,"
called a strange voice behind us.
Chapter 20.
Startled, we both spun around to see a girl about our age. She had rust-colored red hair tied in a ponytail on one side. She had cat-like green eyes and a short stub of a nose and freckles all over her face. She was wearing faded red denim jeans and a t-shirt with a grinning green alligator on the front.
"See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile."
All right. "Cassie, what are you doing here?" Will demanded.
"Following you," she replied, making a face at him. She turned to me. "You're the new kid, Grady, right? Will told me about you."
Hey,
I said awkwardly. He told me a girl lived in the neighborhood, but he didn't tell me much about you.
What's to tell? Will teased.
I'm Cassie O'Rourke, she said. She shot up her hand and pulled the blade of grass from Will's mouth.
Hey!
He playfully tried to slug her, but missed. What did you say about a werewolf? I asked.
Don't start with this shit again, Will grumbled. It's so stupid.
You're so stupid, Cassie. You're so stupid.
You're just afraid, Cassie accused.
No, I'm not. It's too stupid, Will insisted. We stepped into the shade of the trees at the swamp edge. A funnel cloud of white gnats whirred crazily in a shaft of light between the trees.
There's a werewolf in the swamp, Cassie said, lowering her voice as we ducked past the gnats and moved deeper into the shade.
And I'm gonna flap my wings and try to fly to Mars, Will said sarcastically.
Shut up, Will!
Cassie snapped.
Shut up, Wesley, like Will Wheaton.
No.
Grady doesn't think it's stupid, do you?
I shrugged. I don't know, I said. I don't think I believe in werewolves.
Obviously, you're not on Team Jacob.
I probably made those jokes last time, didn't I? I fucking hate myself.
Will laughed. Cassie believes in the Easter Bunny, too, he said.
Cassie socked him hard in the chest.
Hey, Will cried out angrily as he staggered back. What's your problem?
Mosquito, she said, pointing. A big one. I got him.
Scowling, Will glanced down. I don't see any mosquito. Give me a break, Cassie.
We made our way along the winding path. It had rained the day before. The ground was marshier than usual. We kept slipping in the soft mud.
Do you hear the howling sounds at night? I asked Cassie.
That's the werewolf, she replied softly. Her green cat eyes burned into mine.
I'm not kidding around, Grady. I'm serious. Those howls aren't human. Those howls come from a werewolf who was just killed.
Will snickered.
You've got a good imagination, Cassie. I guess you watch a lot of scary movies on TV, huh?
Real life is scarier than the movies, she said, lowering her voice to a whisper.
Oh, stop! You're making me shake all over, Will exclaimed sarcastically.
She didn't reply. She was still staring at me as we walked.
You don't believe me, do you?
I don't know, I said. The bog came into view. The air became heavier, wetter. The tall weeds on the other side stood straight up. The bog gurgled quietly. Two big flies danced over the dark green surface.
There's no such thing as werewolves, Cassie, Will muttered, searching for something to throw in the bog.
He grinned at her.
Unless maybe you're one.
She rolled her eyes. Very funny. She made biting motions with her teeth, as if she were going to bite him. I heard a rustling sound across the oval-shaped bog. The tall weeds suddenly parted, and a wolf appeared at the edge of the water.
What does the werewolf look like? Will asked sarcastically. Does it have red hair and freckles?
Cassie didn't reply. I turned to see a look of terror freeze in her face. Her green eyes grew wide, and her freckles seemed to fade.
There's the werewolf, she stammered in a choking whisper.
She pointed. Feeling a chill of fear, I turned to see where she was pointing. To my horror, she was pointing right at Wolf.
Chapter 21. No! I started to protest, but then I saw that I had misunderstood. Cassie wasn't pointing at Wolf.
Really, R.L. Stein, that's your cut?
She was pointing right at Wolf. And then I realized
I had misunderstood. That is some M. Night Shyamalan shit right there.
She was pointing to the figure moving through the tall weeds behind a dog, the swamp hermit. I saw him walking quickly behind the weeds, his shoulders bent, his mangy head bobbing with each step. As he moved into a small break in the weeds, I could see why he was leaning forward. He carried something over one shoulder, a bag of some sort. Wolf started to growl. The hermit stopped walking. It wasn't a bag slung over his shoulder, I saw. It was a turkey. A wild turkey.
A chilling thought burst in my mind. Had he taken it from Mr. Warner?
Was Cassie right about the swamp hermit? Was he a werewolf? Had he done something horrible to Mr. Warner and claimed the turkey as his prize? I tried to dismiss these horrible thoughts. They were crazy. Impossible. But Cassie looked so frightened, staring across the gurgling green bog at the wild-eyed hermit and the howls at night, the howls that had been so frightening, so human, and the dead animals I'd seen torn so brutally apart as if by a werewolf.
Wolf uttered another warning growl. He stared at the hermit, his tail standing stiffly behind him, his fur raising up on his back. The hermit moved quickly. I saw his dark eyes flash just before he disappeared behind the weeds. "It's him!" Cassie cried, still pointing. "It's the werewolf!" "Cassie, S-T-F-U," Will warned. "He'll hear you." I swallowed hard, frozen in place by fear. I saw the weeds tremble across the bog. I heard rustling sounds growing closer. "Run!" Will cried, his hoarse voice shrill and frightened. "Come on, run!" Too late. The swamp hermit burst out of the weeds right behind us. "I'm the werewolf!" he shrieked. His eyes were wild, excited, his face surrounded by his long, tangled hair, was bright red. "I'm the werewolf!" He had heard Cassie. Laughing at the top of his lungs, he tossed up both hands, then began to swing the turkey in a wide circle over his head. "I'm the werewolf!" he cried. Cassie, Will, and I all cried out at the same time. Then we started to run. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Wolf. He hadn't moved from his spot across the bog. But now, as I started to run, he came bounding toward us, barking excitedly. "I'm the werewolf!" the hermit shrieked. He had howled with laughter, still swinging the turkey as he chased after us. "Leave us alone!" Cassie cried, running beside me. Will is still a few steps ahead of me. "Do you hear me? Leave us alone!" Her pleas made the hermit howl again. My shoes slipped in the muddy ground. I turned back. He was gaining on me, right behind me. Gasping for breath, I struggled to run faster. Sharp vines and heavy leaves slapped at my face and arms as I plunged forward. It was all a blur now, a blur of light and shade. Trees and vines, tall weeds and sharp brambles. "I'm the werewolf! I'm the werewolf!" The cat's looking at me like I'm... Oh wait, I already said that. The crazed hermit's high-pitched wails of laughter echoed through the swamp. "I'm the werewolf!" "Keep going, Grady," I urged myself. "Keep going." Then, with a terrified cry, I felt my feet slide out from under me. I fell face forward into the mud, landing hard on my hands and knees. "He's got me," I realized. "The werewolf has got me."
Chapter 22.
I tried frantically to scramble up from the mud, but I slipped again and tumbled forward with a splat. Yeah, sound effects. "He's got me now," I thought. "The werewolf has got me now. I cannot escape." My muscles all frozen panic, I struggled to crawl away. I turned back, expecting the hermit to grab me, but he had stopped several yards away. The turkey dangled to the ground as he stared down at me, a strange grin on his weathered face. Where was Wolf, I wondered. Wolf had been growling furiously at the swamp hermit. Why hadn't Wolf attacked? "Help! Will! Cassie!" I cried desperately. Silence. They were gone. They were both probably out of the swamp by now, running for home. I was alone. Alone to face the hermit. I stumbled to my feet, my eyes locked on his. Why was he grinning at me like that? "Go on, go," he muttered, gesturing with his free hand. "Just teasing you." "What?" My voice came out tiny and frightened. "Go! I'm not gonna bite you," he said. His grin faded. The light seemed to dim in his shiny black eyes. Wolf appeared behind him. The dog gazed up at the hermit. Then, lowering his eyes to the dead turkey, he barked once, a shrill yip. But I could see that Wolf had relaxed. He had no intention of attacking the hermit. "This dog yours?" the hermit asked, eyeing Wolf warily. "Yeah," I replied, still breathing hard. "I found him." "Watch out for him," the hermit said sharply. Then he turned and hoisted the large bird on his shoulder, heading back into the weeds. "Watch out for him," I stammered. "What do you mean?" But the hermit didn't reply. I could hear him brushing the tall weeds away as he disappeared back into the swamp. "What do you mean?" I called after him, but He was gone. The swamp was silent now, except for the chirping and clicking of insects and the dry sound of palm leaves brushing against each other. I stared straight ahead at the tall weeds. I guess I expected the swamp hermit to return, to burst back into view, to attack again. Two white moths fluttered together over the weeds. Nothing else moved. He was teasing us, he had said. That's all it was, just teasing. I swallowed hard. Then I forced myself to breathe normally again. After a while, I lowered my gaze to Wolf. The dog was busily sniffing the ground where the hermit had stood. "Wolf, why didn't you protect me?" I scolded. The dog glanced up, then returned to his sniffing. "Hey, dog, are you a big coward?" I asked, brushing at the wet dirt on the knees of my jeans. "Is that your problem? You sound real tough, but you're actually a big chicken, dog." Wolf ignored me. I turned and headed home, thinking about the hermit's warning. As I made my way along the narrow path, I could hear Wolf running through the weeds and tall grass, following close behind. "Watch out for him," the hermit had said. Was he teasing about that too? Was he just trying to scare me? The strange man saw that Will, Cassie, and I were afraid of him, so he decided to have some fun with us. That's all it was, I decided. He heard Cassie call him a werewolf, so he decided to give us a real scare. As I walked along the marshy ground under the shade of the tilted palm trees, my mind spun through thoughts about Cassie and Will and Wolf and werewolves. I didn't see the snake until I stepped on it. I glanced down in time to see its bright green head shoot forward. I felt a stab of pain as its fangs dug into my ankle. The pain jolted up my leg. I uttered a choked gasp before I crumpled to the ground. Hate snakes, and I hate people that have snakes. If you have a pet snake and you're like a snake dude and you're into snakes and all that shit, like, don't listen to Dude Reads Goosebumps anymore. I'm not into it. I don't trust you. I'm all about mammals, right, Cat? The dog's still better than the cat, though. Don't worry. 23. I hit the ground and curled into a tight ball as the pain throbbed through my body. Red dots formed in my eyes. The dots grew larger and larger until I only saw red. The color shimmered in rhythm to the throbbing pain. Through the curtain of red, I saw the snake slither into the bushes. I grabbed my ankle, trying to force the pain down. Slowly, the red faded, then vanished, leaving only the pain. My hands suddenly felt wet. Blood? I glanced down to see Wolf licking my hand, fierce licking, as if trying to cure me, trying to make everything okay again. Despite the pain, I laughed. "It's okay, boy," I said. "I'm okay." He kept licking my hand until I climbed to my feet. I felt a little dizzy. My legs were shaky. I tried putting weight in the foot that had been bitten. I felt a little better. I took a step limping, then another. "Let's go, Wolf," I said. He gazed up at me sympathetically. I knew I had to get home quickly. If the snake was poisonous, I was in big fucking trouble. I had no way of knowing how much time I had before the venom would paralyze me completely. Or worse. Wolf stayed at my side as I limped over the soft ground toward home. I was gasping for breath. My chest felt tight. The ground swayed beneath me. Was it just because of the snake venom? Or was it because I was so frightened? Was it because of the snake venom? Or was it just because I was so frightened? Pain shot up my side with every step I took. But I kept pulling myself along, talking to Wolf all the while, ignoring the throbbing ache of my ankle. "We're almost there, Wolf," I said, panting loudly. "Almost there, boy." The dog sensed that something was seriously wrong. He stayed by my side instead of running his usual zigzag patterns in front of me and behind me. The end of the trees came into view. I could see bright sunlight just beyond the swamp. "Hey," a voice called to me. I saw Will and Cassie waiting for me on the flat grass. They began running toward me. "Are you okay?" Cassie called. "No, I got bit," I managed to choke out. "Please, go get
My dad. They both took off running full speed to my house. I dropped down on the grass, spreading my legs straight out and waited. I tried to stay calm, but it was impossible. Was the snake poisonous? Was the venom hitting straight to my heart? Was I about to die any second? I reached down with both hands and carefully pulled off my mud-covered sneakers. Then, moving in a tiny bit at a time, I lowered my white sock down over the ankle and off my foot. The ankle was a little swollen. The skin was red, except for a white, puckered spot around the bite. Inside that spot, I saw two small puncture marks, bright red droplets of blood oozing from each hole. When I raised my eyes from the wound, I saw my dad, dressed in brown shorts and a white t-shirt, hurrying along the flat grass toward me, followed closely by Will and Cassie. "What happened?" I heard my dad ask them. "What happened to Grady?" "He was bitten by a werewolf," I heard Cassie replied. "Keep the ice pack on it." I don't need to get into this voice. "Keep the ice pack on it," Dad instructed. "The swelling will go down." I groaned and held the ice pack against my ankle. Mom tisked from the kitchen table. She had a newspaper spread out in front of her. I couldn't tell if she was tisking over me or over the day's news. Outside the screen door, I could see Wolf on his side in the grass, just past the back stoop, sound asleep. Emily was in the front room, watching some soap on TV. "How does it feel?" Mom asked. "A lot better," I told her. "I think I was mainly scared." "Green snakes aren't poisonous," Dad reminded me for the 10th time, "but I took every precaution just in case. We'll wrap it up really good, and when you're through putting ice on it." "What was all the talk about werewolves?" Mom asked. "Cassie has werewolves on the brain," I said. "She thinks the swamp hermit is a werewolf." "She seems like a sweet girl," Mom said quietly. "I had a nice talk with her while your father was taking care of your bite. You're lucky, Grady, to find two kids your age out here on the edge of a swamp." "Yeah, I guess," I replied, shifting the ice pack on the ankle. "But she was driving Will and me nuts with her werewolf talk." "That's how girls are. Werewolf, 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 I'm pregnant. Werewolf, need money for an abortion. Werewolf, werewolf. I know how they are." Dad was washing his hands on the kitchen sink. He dried them on a dish towel, then turned to me. "That old swamp hermit is supposed to be harmless," he said. "At least, that's what everyone says." "Well, he gave us a real scare," I told him. "He chased us through the swamp shouting, 'I'm the werewolf!'" "Weird," my dad replied thoughtfully. He tossed the dish towel on the counter. "You should stay away from him," Mom said, looking up from the newspaper. "Do you believe in werewolves?" I asked. Dad snickered. "Your mom and I are scientists, Grady. We're not supposed to believe in supernatural things like werewolves or Jesus Christ." "Your father is a werewolf," Mom joked. "I had to shave his back every morning so I look human." "Ha, ha," I said sarcastically. "I'm serious. I mean, haven't you heard the weird howls at night?" "Lots of creatures howl," Mom replied. "I'll bet you howled when that snake bit your ankle." "Can't you be serious?" I cried shrilly. "You know, the howls didn't start until it was a full moon." "I remember, the howls didn't start until that dog showed up," Emily called from the front room. "Emily, give me a break," I shouted. "Your dog is a werewolf," Emily cried. Sorry, that was really gross. "Enough of the werewolf talk," Mom muttered. "Look, I've got hair growing on my palms." She held up her hands. "What? No, whatever." "That's just ink off the newspaper," Dad said. He turned to me. "See? There's a scientific explanation for everything." "I really would like to be taken seriously," I said through clenched teeth. "Well," Dad glanced outside. Wolf had rolled onto his back and was sleeping with all four legs up in the air. "The moon will look full for only two more nights," Dad told me. "Tonight and tomorrow night. If the howls stop after tomorrow night, we'll know it was a werewolf howling at the full moon." Dad chuckled. He thought it was all a big joke. We had no idea that something was about to happen that night that might change his opinion about werewolves forever.
something's about to change my opinion about this bath forever, because I am out of hurricane high gravity lager. And I threw it in the bath like the drunk I am.
Chapter 24! Will and Cassie came over after dinner. Mom and Dad were still loading dishes into the dishwasher and cleaning up. Emily had hurried into town to get the only movie playing. I was walking around pretty well. The ankle barely hurt at all. Dad's a pretty good doctor, I guess. The three of us settled in from the front room, and we instantly got into an argument about werewolves. Cassie insisted that the swamp hermit wasn't kidding, that he really was a werewolf. Will Turner told her she was a complete jerk. He only chased us because you heard him calling him a werewolf, he told Cassie angrily. Why do you think he lives by himself way deep in the swamp? Cassie demanded of Will. Because he knows what happens to him when the moon is full. He doesn't want anyone else to know it. Then why did he scream it to us that why did he scream to us that he was a werewolf this afternoon? Will asked impatiently. Because he was just joking, that's why. Come on, guys, let's change the subject, I said. My parents are both scientists, and they say there's no proof that werewolves exist. That's what scientists always say, Cassie insisted.
Note that Cassie, like Dune Murderous, is a huge Insane Clown Posse fan, and we, as a people, denounce scientists in general. You know, werewolves, magnets, Bill O'Reilly's one of us. He denounces the moon, tides, that sort of thing.
Anyway, they're right, Will said. There are no werewolves, except in movies. You're a real jerk, Cassie. You're a jerk, Cassie shouted back. The wittiest comment a woman's ever made. I could see they'd had fights like this before. Let's play a game or something, I suggested. Wanna play some Nintendo? It's in my room. Mr. Warner still hasn't shown up, Cassie told Will, ignoring me. She tugged at a red ponytail, then tossed it behind her head. You know why? Because he was murdered by a fucking werewolf. Don't be stupid, Will said. How do you know? Maybe you're the werewolf, I told Cassie. Stupid. God, never mind. Guys are stupid, too. Only dogs are smart. Will laughed. Wait one second. Callie! Will laughed. Yeah, that's why you're such an expert, Cassie. Oh, shut up, Cassie grumbled. You look more like a werewolf than me, Will. You look like a vampire, he told her. Well, you look like King Kong, she cried. What are you kids talking about? Mom interrupted, poking her head into the room. Just talking about movies and things, I replied quickly. I couldn't get to sleep that night. I kept rolling onto one side, then the other. I couldn't get comfortable. I kept listening for howls. A strong wind had come up from the gulf. I could hear it rushing past her small house. It rattled the wire mesh of the deer pen out back. It made a constant sound, and I strained to hear the familiar howls. I had just about drifted off to sleep when the howls began. Instantly alert, I jumped to my feet. My left ankle ached as I stepped down onto it. Another howl far off, barely carrying over the steady rush of wind. Whoosh! 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 I limped to my bedroom. The ankle had stiffened up a bit while I was laying in bed. I pressed my face against the glass and peered out. The full moon, gray as a skull, hovered low in the charcoal sky. The dewy grass gleamed under its blanket of pale light. A burst of wind rattled my window. Startled, I pulled back and listened. Another howl, closer. This one sent a cold shudder down my back. It sounded really close. Or was it the wind carrying it from the swamp? I squinted out the windows. Swirls of wind made the grass sway from one side to the other. The ground appeared to be spinning, glowing in the pale moonlight as it twirled. Another howl. Even closer. I couldn't see anything. I had to know who was making that terrifying sound. I pulled my jeans on over my pajama bottoms. Struggling in the dark, I managed to slide my feet into a pair of flip-flops. I stared out my room, but stopped short when I heard a banging, a loud crash, a pounding, a harsh thud. Dad was fucking Mom like a beast.
Damn it, the laptop went out, so I'm maybe thinking that this shut off.
God damn it, I'm never gonna be able to find my point on Dad was fucking mauling like a beast.
That might not have actually been in there. Hold up.
Alright. Heyo. Switch to the old Pabst Blue Ribbon. Looks like we're recording fine. And here we go. Something about Cornhole and Mom. Right outside my house, my heart pounding. I ran through the dark hallway, my ankle ached, but I ignored it. I hurried through the kitchen, unlocking the back door and pulled it open. A strong gust of wind pushed me back as I opened the screen door. The wind was hot and wet. Another strong gust pushed me back. The wind is trying to keep me inside, I thought, trying to keep me from solving the mystery of the terrifying howls. I think that's a Hardy Boys book. I lowered my head against the driving gusts and leapt down off the stoop. Ow! I cried out as pain shot up my leg. Waiting for my eyes to adjust to the dim light, I listened hard. That bubbling sound is me capsizing the can or the tall can of a hurricane high gravity. No howls now, just the shrill, steady rush of wind pushing me back against the house. The backyard glowed in the moonlight. Everything was silver and gray and silent. I searched the backyard, my eyes sweeping slowly across the shifting grass. Empty. But what had caused all the commotion I'd heard in my room? The banging, the loud thuds, the rattling sounds. Why had the howl stopped when I came outside? What a mystery, I thought. What a strange mystery. Goddamn. The wind swirled around me. My face was dripping wet from the heavy dampness in the air. Feeling defeated, I turned back toward the house and uttered a shocked cry when I saw that the werewolf had murdered again. I took a step through the swirling wind toward the deer pen. Dad! I cried, but my voice came out a hushed whisper. Dad! I tried to shout, but my throat was too dry and choked with fear. Staring straight ahead, I took another step. I could see it all clearly now. A scene of death. Pale light and shadows. The only sounds were the pounding of my heart, the swell of the wind, and the rattling of the wire mesh in the pen. I took another step closer. Dad! Dad! I cried out without thinking, without hearing myself, knowing he couldn't hear. But I wanted him to be there. I wanted someone to be there with me. I didn't want to be all alone out here in the backyard. I didn't want to be staring at the hole that had been ripped from the side of the pen. I didn't want to see the murdered deer lying so pitifully on its side. The five remaining deer huddled together at the other end of the pen. Their eyes were on me. Frightened eyes. The wind swept around me, hot and wet. But I felt cold all over. A cold shudder of terror ran down my body. I swallowed hard once, twice, trying to choke down the heavy lump in my throat. Then, before I even realized what I was doing, I began running to the house, screaming, Dad! Mom! Dad! Mom! At the top of my lungs, my cries rose on the gusting wind like the terrifying howls I had heard just a few minutes before. His pajama shirt flapping over the jeans he had pulled on, Dad dragged the dead deer back to the back of the yard. Then, as I watched from the kitchen window, he patched the deer pen with a large sheet of box cardboard. As he tried to return to the house, the strong winds nearly blew the screen door off its hinges. Dad jerked the door shut, then locked it. His face was dripping with perspiration. He had mud down the side of one pajama sleeve. Mom poured him a glass of water from the sink, and he drank it without taking a breath. Then he wiped the sweat from his forehead with a dish towel. I'm afraid your dog is a killer, he said softly to me. He tossed the towel back to me on the counter. It wasn't Wolf, I cried. It wasn't. Dad didn't reply. He took a deep breath, then let it out slowly. Mom and Emily watched silently from in front of the sink. What makes you think it was Wolf? I demanded. I saw the prints in the ground, he replied.
paw prints.
It wasn't Wolf, I insisted.
I'm gonna have to take him to the pound in the morning, Dad said.
The one over in the next county, but they'll kill him, I cried.
The dog is a killer, Dad insisted softly. I know how you feel, Grady. I know, but the dog is a killer.
Side note, Franklin, the dog that I constantly talk about and treat like a boyfriend, non-sexually, we got him from a rescue that rescues dogs, like, right before they're about to put down. He was actually from Orange County because the rich housewives in Orange County buy little dogs like that, and then they get bored with them after a little bit, after, like, 2 years or so, and, you know, they get put down. So, anyway, my point is, maybe he's a killer. I have to watch his every move now. Oh my goodness. Also, you know, adopt a dog. Do it. I hate the fucking word adopt on dogs, though. Buy a fucking dog. A used one. Anyway.
It wasn't Wolf, I cried. Dad, I know it wasn't Wolf. I heard the howls, Dad. It was Wolf. Dad, I know it wasn't Wolf. I heard the howls, Dad. It was a wolf.
Nice writing there.
Grady, please, he stuttered warily. Then the words just burst out of me. I lost all control. They just poured out in a flood. It was a werewolf, Dad. There's a werewolf in the swamp. Cassie's right. It wasn't a dog. It wasn't a wolf. It's a werewolf who's been killing the animals who killed your deer.
Grady, shut the fuck up, Dad pleaded impatiently,
but I couldn't stop. I know I'm right, Dad, I cried in a shrill voice that didn't sound like me. It's been a full moon this week, right? And that's when the howls began. It's a werewolf, Dad. The swamp hermit, the crazy guy who lives in the shack in the swamp, he's a werewolf. He told us he is. He chased us and he told us he's a werewolf. He did it, Dad. Not Wolf. He killed the deer tonight. I heard him outside howling. And then, my voice caught my throat. I started to choke. Dad filled the glass with water and handed it to me. I gulped it down thirstily. He had put a hand on my shoulder. Grady, let's talk about it in the morning, okay? We're both too tired to think straight now. What do you say?
It wasn't Wolf, I cried stubbornly. I know it wasn't.
In the morning, Dad repeated, his hand still on my shoulder. He held it there to comfort me, to steady me. I felt shaky. I was panting. My heart pounded. Yeah, okay, I finally agreed. In the morning. I made my way slowly to my room, but I knew I wouldn't sleep. The next morning, Dad was gone when I got up. He went to the lumber yard, Mom told me, to get wire mesh to repair the pen. I yawned and stretched. I had fallen into a restless sleep at about 2:30.
2:30? That's when you're supposed to go to the dentist. 2:30? Because your teeth hurt at 2... fuck it.
But I still felt tired and nervous. Is Wolf out there? I asked anxiously. I ran to the kitchen window before she could reply. I could see Wolf at the head of the driveway. He had a blue rubber ball between his front paws and he was chewing at it furiously. Betty's hungry for breakfast, I muttered. I heard the crunch of gravel and Dad's car pulled up the driveway. The trunk was opened partway, a roll of wire mesh bulging inside.
Morning, Dad said as he came into the kitchen. His expression was grim.
Are you going to take Wolf? I demanded immediately. His eyes were on the dog chewing on the rubber ball outside. He looked so cute. People in the town are upset, Dad replied, pouring himself a cup of coffee from the coffee maker. A lot of animals have been killed this week, and a guy who lives down the way, Ed Warner, has disappeared in the swamp. People are very worried. They've heard the howls, too.
Are you taking Wolf away?
I repeated shrilly, my voice trembling. Dad nodded. His expression remained grim. He took a long sip of coffee. Go look at the paw prints outside the pen, Grady, he said, locking his eyes on mine. Go ahead, take a look.
I don't care about prints, I moaned. I just know...
I can't take any more chances, Dad said.
I don't care, he's my dog, I screamed.
Grady,
Dad set down the cup and started toward me, but I burst past him and ran to the door, pushing open the screen door. I leapt off the back stoop. Wolf stood up. As soon as he saw me, his tail started to wag. Leaving the blue rubber ball behind me, he began loping toward me eagerly. Dad was right behind me. "I'm going to take the dog away now, Grady," he said. "Do you want to come along?"
"No!" I cried.
"I have no choice," Dad said, his voice just above a whisper. He stepped forward and reached for Wolf.
"No!" I shouted. "No! Run, Wolf! Run!"
I gave the dog a shove. Wolf turned to me uncertainly.
"Run!" I screamed. "Run!
Run!"
Oh, God damn, that hurt my throat.
I gave Wolf another hard shove. Also, this is chapter 26. I gave Wolf another hard shove. "Run! Run, boy, go!" Dad had his hands around Wolf's shoulders, but he didn't have a good grip. Wolf broke free and started to run toward the swamp. "Hey!" Dad called angrily. He chased Wolf to the end of the yard, but the big dog was too fast for him. I stood behind the house, breathing hard and watching Wolf until he disappeared into the low trees at the edge of the swamp. Dad turned back toward me, an angry expression on his face.
"That was dumb, Grady," he muttered. "I didn't say anything."
"Wolf will come back later," Dad said. "When he does, I'll have to take him away."
"But Dad," I started.
"No more discussion," he said sternly. "As soon as the dog returns, I'm taking him to the pound."
"You can't," I screamed.
"The dog is a killer, Grady. I have no choice." Dad headed toward the car. "Come help me unload this mesh wire. I need your help getting the pen patched up." I gazed toward the swamp as I followed Dad to the car.
"Don't come back, Wolf," I pleaded silently. "Please don't come back."
All day long, I watched the swamp. I felt nervous, shaky. I had no appetite at all. After I helped Dad repair the deer pen, I stayed in my room. I tried to read a book, but the words were just a blur. I realized then I was illiterate. By evening, Wolf hadn't returned. "You're safe, Wolf," I thought, "at least for today." My whole family was tense. At dinner, we hardly spoke. Emily talked about this movie she'd seen the night before, but no one joined in with any comments. I went to bed early. I was really tired. From tension, I guess, and from being up most the night before. My room was darker than usual. It was the last night of the full moon, but heavy blankets of clouds covered the moonlight. I settled my head onto the pillow and tried to get to sleep, but I kept thinking about Wolf. The howls started a short while later. I crept out of bed and hurried to the window. I squinted out into the darkness. Heavy black clouds still covered the moon. The air was still. Nothing moved. I heard a low growl and Wolf came into focus. He was standing stiffly in the middle of the backyard, his head tilted up to the sky, uttering low growls. As I stared out the window at him, the big dog began to pace back and forth from one side of the yard to the other. He's pacing like a caged animal, I thought, pacing and growling as if something is really troubling him or scaring him. As he paced, he kept raising his head toward the full moon, behind the clouds and growling. What's going on? I wondered. I had to find out. I got dressed quickly in the darkness, pulling on the jeans and t-shirt I had worn all day. I fumbled into my sneakers. At first, I had the left one on the right foot. I'm such an idiot. It was so dark in my room without the moonlight pouring in. As soon as my sneakers were tied, I hurried to the back window. Wolf was leaving the backyard, I saw. He was lumbering slowly in the direction of the swamp. I'm going to follow Wolf, I decided. I'm going to prove for once and all that he's not a killer or a werewolf. I was afraid my parents might hear me if I went to the kitchen door, so I crawled out my window. The grass was wet from heavy dew. The air was wet, too, and nearly as hot as during the day. My sneakers squeaked and slid on the damp grass as I hurried to follow Wolf. I stopped at the end of the backyard. I'd lost him. I could still hear him somewhere up ahead. I could hear the soft thud of his paws on the marshy ground, but it was too dark to see him. I followed the sound of his footsteps, gazing up at the shifting, shadowy clouds. I was nearly to the swamp when I heard footsteps behind me. With a gasp, I stopped and listened hard. Yes, footsteps.
moving rapidly toward me.
Chapter 27.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Hey! I let out a choked cry and spun around. At first, all I could see was blackness. Hey, who's there? My voice came out in a hushed whisper. Will stepped out from the darkness. Grady, it's you, he cried. He came closer. He was wearing a dark sweatshirt over black jeans. Will, what the fuck are you doing out here? I asked breathlessly. I heard the howls, he replied. I decided to investigate. Me too, I'm so glad to see you, I exclaimed. We can explore together. I'm glad to see you too, he said. It was so dark. I didn't know it was you. I thought...
I'm following Wolf, I told him. I led the way into the swamp. It grew darker and darker as we made our way under the low trees.
As we walked, I told Will about the night before, about the murdered deer, the paw prints around the deer pen. I told him about how people in the town were talking, how my dad had planned to take Wolf away to the pound. I know Wolf isn't a killer, I told him. I just know it. But Cassie got me so scared with all her werewolf stories, and...
Cassie is a jerk, Will muttered. He pointed to the weeds. Look, there's Wolf. I could see his black outline moving steadily through the heavy darkness.
I was so stupid, I should have brought a flashlight, I murmured.
Wolf disappeared behind the weeds. Will and I followed the sound of his footsteps. We walked away for several minutes. I realized I could no longer hear the dog.
Where's Wolf? I whispered, my eyes searching in the dark bushes and low trees. I don't want to lose him.
He went this way, Will called back to me. Follow me. Our sneakers slid over the damp, marshy ground. I slapped a mosquito on the back of my neck. Too late. I could feel warm blood.
Deeper in the swamp, past the bog, eerily silent now. Hey, Will?
I stopped and searched. Oh, a soft cry escaped my lips as I realized I had lost him. Somehow, we had gotten separated.
I heard rustling up ahead, the crack of twigs, the whispering brush of weeds being stepped on and pushed out of the way. Will, is that you, or is it Wolf? Will, where are you?
Pale light suddenly washed over me,
washed slowly over the ground. Glancing up, I saw the heavy clouds pull away, the yellow full moon hovering high in the sky. As the light slowly swept over the swamp, a low structure came into view straight ahead of me. At first, I couldn't figure out what it was. Some kind of gigantic plant? No, I'm too stupid. As the moonlight shone down, I realized I was staring at the swamp hermit shack. I stopped, frozen in sudden fear, and the howls began. The frightening sound tore through the heavy silence. A horrifying wail, so loud, so nearby, rose in the still air, rose, and then fell. The sound was so terrifying. I raised my hands to cover my ears. The swamp hermit, I thought, he is the werewolf. I knew he was the werewolf. I've got to get away from here, I realized. I've got to get home. I turned away from the small shack. My legs were trembling so hard I didn't know if I could walk. Go to home.
Wait, what?
Got to go. Got to go. Got to go. The words repeated in my mind, but before I could move, the werewolf burst out from behind a tree and, howling its hideous howl, leapt onto my shoulders and shoved me to the ground.
That was a splash, just in case there was a puddle. That was for effect.
Chapter 28. As the yellow light of the full moon shone down, I gazed into the face of the werewolf as it had pinned me to the ground. Its dark eyes glared out from a human face covered in wolf fur. It howled its rage, its animal snout opening wide to reveal two gleaming rows of wolf fangs. It's a human wolf, I realized to my terror. A werewolf! Get off! I shrieked, Will! Get off me!
It was Will. The werewolf was Will.
Even through the thick, matted wolf fur, I could recognize his dark features, his small, black eyes, his thick, stubby neck. Will! I screamed. I struggled to push away, to squirm out from under, but he was too powerful. I couldn't move. Will! Get off! He raised his fur-covered face to the moon and uttered an animal howl. Then, snarling out his rage, he lowered his beastly head and dug his fangs into my shoulder. I let out a shriek of pain. Ow! Owie! Blinding flashes of red filled my eyes. I thrust out my hands, kicked my legs, struggled blindly to free myself. But he had animal strength, which is twice that of retard strength. He was much too strong for me. Too strong. The flashing red faded, turned to black. Everything was fading to black. I could feel myself sinking down a black tunnel, sinking forever into deep, deep, endlessly deep darkness. A loud growl brought me back. Bewildered, I gazed up to see a wolf leap onto Will. Will uttered a shrill howl of anger and turned to wrestle with the snarling dog. I watched in stunned disbelief. God damn.
You try reading out loud straight, okay? It hurts.
Alright, gargled paps. That's what the real voice actors do.
Will uttered a shrill howl of anger and turned to wrestle with the snarling dog. I watched in stunned disbelief as they scrambled over the ground, biting and clawing, raging at each other, growling and grunting. Will, it was you. It was you all along, I muttered, struggling to my feet. I gripped a tree trunk. The ground appeared to be sliding beneath me. Two creatures continued to battle, grunting and growling as they clawed at each other, wrestling over the wet ground. I knew it wasn't Wolf, I muttered. I knew. And then a deafening, high-pitched shriek startled me, and I tumbled to my knees. I looked up to see Will running away, fleeing on all fours through the tall trees. Wolf followed closely behind, snapping at Will's ankles, jumping on him, biting and clawing as they ran. Then I heard Will utter a cry of pain, a wail of defeat. As the anguished sound faded, I sank down. Down, down into the blue-black darkness.
Alright, we're almost done with this one, motherfuckface.
Chapter 29!
Yeah, that was a good note.
You have a slight fever, Mom said, but you'll be okay.
Swamp fever, I muttered weakly, gazing up, trying to focus. Her face was blurred, hovering over me in soft light.
It took me a long while to realize I was in my own bedroom. How did I get here? I stammered.
The swamp hermit. He found you in the swamp and carried you home, Mom said.
He did? I tried to sit up, but my shoulder ached. To my surprise, it was tightly bandaged. The werewolf, Will! He bit me, I said, swallowing hard.
Dad's face hovered beside Mom's.
What are you saying, Grady? Why do you keep muttering about a werewolf?
I pulled myself up a little and told him the whole story. They listened in silence, glancing at each other from time to time as I talked.
Will is a werewolf, I concluded. He changed under the full moon. He changed into a wolf, and...
I'm gonna check this out right now, Dad said, staring intently down at me.
Your story is crazy, Grady, just crazy. Maybe it's the fever, I don't know, but I'm going right over to your friend's house to see what's going on.
Dad, be careful, I called to him. Be careful! Dad returned a short while later, a bewildering look on his face. I was sitting in the living room, feeling a lot better, a big bowl of popcorn in my lap.
There's no one there, Dad said, scratching his head.
Huh? What do you mean? Mom asked.
The house is empty, Dad told us. Deserted. It doesn't look like anyone has lived there for months.
Wow, Grady, you certainly have strange friends, Emily exclaimed, rolling her eyes.
I don't get it, Dad said, shaking his head.
I didn't either, but I didn't care. Will was gone. The werewolf was gone for good.
How did you deduce that?
Anyway, so I can keep Wolf? I asked Dad, climbing up from the chair and crossing the room with him. Wolf saved my life. Can I keep him?
Dad stared back at me thoughtfully, but didn't reply.
The swamp hermit told us he saw the dog chase some kind of animal away from Grady, Mom said.
Probably a squirrel, Emily joked.
God, has there ever been a good, sibling in a Goosebumps book that was helpful or insightful?
Oh, whatever.
Emily, give me a break, I groaned.
Wolf really saved my life, I told them.
I guess you can keep him, Dad said, reluctantly.
Yay! way! I thanked him and eagerly made my way to the backyard to give Wolf a happy hug. That all happened nearly a month ago. Since then, Wolf and I have had a wonderful time exploring the swamp. I've gotten to know just about every inch of Fever Swamp. It's like my second home. Sometimes, Wolf and I let Cassie come along exploring with us. She's kind of fun, even though she's always on the lookout for werewolves. I really wish she'd just drop the subject. I'm standing at my bedroom window right now, watching the full moon rising over the distant trees. The first full moon in a month makes me think of Will. Will may be gone, but he changed my life. I know I'll never forget him. I feel the fur sprouting in my face. My snout is expanding and my fangs are sliding out between my dark lips. Yes, when he bit me, Will passed the curse onto me. But I don't mind. I'm not upset. I mean, with Will out of the way, the swamp is now mine. All mine. I'm climbing out of my window right now. There's Wolf waiting for me, eager to do some night exploring. I drop easily to the ground on all fours. I raise my fur-covered face to the moon and utter a long, joyful howl. Let's go, Wolf. Let's hurry to Fever Swamp. I'm ready to hunt. The end of The Werewolf of Fever Swamp on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Yeah, still in the bath. I've heated it up a couple times. I'm about to do the post-bath shower, you know, so I don't just, you know, sit stewing in my own juices. I was mature enough not to pee in the bath this time, which is very adult of me. I was reading that on the ebook reader that I just got, which I totally regretted buying because it was like $80 and I'm broke. And I drunkenly bought it on Woot or a sellout Woot one night. And best decision I ever made. I'm not normally, surprisingly, one to read a lot of like normal books. I read a lot of comics and lots of Reddit, but don't read a lot of books. But the backlit ebook reader, which is the Augen the Book, A-U-G-E-N, is awesome. It's I definitely suggest checking it out because it reads like all the Kindle books and all the EPUB files and everything else. But you don't have to worry about the old DRM, so you can just download shit in bulk. The backlit thing, since I've grown up with the internet and I know that most people don't appreciate the old backlit ebooks and like the Kindle like fake book format, you know. Yeah, backlit, awesome. It looks like you're reading a webpage, so I've been just reading a shit ton, but not out loud to you fuckers. Anyway, the bath is now completely drained. I'm going to take a shower, and this has been Dune Reads Goosebumps. Stay spooky, bitches!